Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about God of War 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a God of War, not 2018.
2005. Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to use the same name for some reason.
Yep, and I will tell you all about it.
All right. I'm assuming they had a perfectly good reason for doing that.
They totally do.
Okay. God of War is an action-adventure game developed by Santa Monica Studio and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. It was released in April 2018 for the PlayStation 4, with the Microsoft Windows version released in January 2022. This installment is loosely inspired by Norse mythology, with the majority of it set in ancient Scandinavia in the realm of Midgar. Spoiler warning, this game has, you know, pretty good story.
It does, and we're going to talk about it.
So if you haven't played it, I would recommend playing it. There's nothing I feel like that's going to spoil the story too much, except for, like, you know, the big thing at the end.
Yeah, and nothing can spoil the gameplay.
That's true. It's very fun still.
All right, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Nikki, I am excited to get to hear all about the history of God of War.
And I'm excited to tell you all about it.
Are you going to make up brand new history like the game does with mythology?
Yeah, this is all made up. I did not research this at all.
Awesome.
So just take it for what it is.
All right.
So, Eric, what year do you think they started making this game?
Well, it came out in 2018. So, I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that today.
Today?
So, I'm going to assume they started working on it well in advance, probably earlier that month.
That month? Right. Great guess, Eric. If you were on Price is Right, you would probably stay at the guessing stand the whole entire time. But they started developing God of War in 2014, which was actually confirmed by Santa Monica Studios creative director Corey Barlog at the first annual PlayStation Experience on December 6th, 2014.
I would kind of assume it's a bigger franchise game. You know, I would assume it would probably have that big franchise length of time to work on it.
Oh, yeah. And once you played this game, I mean, there's just so much to it. There's no way, babe, sorry, that it would take a month.
Yeah, I guess that was a pretty ridiculous guess now that you mention it.
Yeah. Wow. Ugh. So this is actually where they stated that the game would not be a prequel and would possibly be a reboot instead.
Oh.
So this is where, you know, you're kind of getting an idea of what the next game is going to hold. But you have to wait. If you were there in 2014, you have to wait until April 2016 for concept art to be leaked. And that's where you get to see images of Kratos in the world of the Norse mythology, a concept originally considered by series creator Dave Jaffe after Kratos eliminated the Greek gods. So it's like, basically, who else is Kratos going to kill at this point? We kind of need to switch gears.
Yeah, that was kind of my impression too, because yeah, you're out of Greek gods. I guess you could go to like Roman gods, you could go, but I guess they wanted just to go a completely different direction, which I kind of like that they went into Norse mythology. That's kind of cool.
They talked about several different options. They did want to keep it in the mythology realm, obviously, but in the end, you know, they chose Norse mythology. Yeah, so they actually talked about doing Egyptian, Japanese mythology, and Norse mythology. The team was really split on Egyptian and Norse mythology, so that's kind of what it came down to. But at the end of the day, they wanted to choose a civilization that was a little more less industrial, I guess, and more remote. So they chose Norse mythology because, well, for one, the location, you know, it's like more of the nature-y kind of scene. They chose a time before anything was developed. So apparently this is when the gods still walked the earth.
Okay, yeah, so they're just saving all the other gods for later installments, I assume.
Oh, yeah, this is probably a never-ending series. Kratos is just going to go through all the gods and all the mythologies. But they do confirm, you know, in this game that they know about other mythologies and that they're all kind of, they're coexisting at the same time or, you know, whatever they're, for, they all exist.
For their convenience.
In the same.
For their convenience.
Yeah, reality. Yeah. So the game's official announcement came at the 2016 Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3, and a gameplay demo that confirmed the Norse setting. The demo showed a fully bearded Kratos teaching his son how to hunt. The pair also battled a troll. The end of the demo showed the title, God of War, and confirmed it was the in development for PlayStation 4. The E3 announcement also confirmed that Corey Barlog had returned to the series as the game director for the new installment.
Was he, what other God of War games did he work on?
So, Corey has actually been a major contributor to the development of the series since 2005, when the original God of War was created. This would be his fifth God of War game that he worked on. And he directed God of War 2.
Okay, wow. So he's been part of the franchise for a long time.
Oh, yeah. And basically, they wanted to get someone in there that they knew the story very well and knew all the ins and outs of the game well enough so that when they do this new story, this kind of reboot story, they kind of know the rules to break.
Yeah, they didn't want to, like, contradict themselves from an earlier game or something like that, I guess.
Yeah.
At least too badly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he knows what he's doing. And he's worked on a bunch of other really good games, like Tomb Raider games and nice. All kinds of stuff. So he's also the main reason that they switched the camera, the fixed camera angle for this game. He was someone that really pushed for that. And that's why they kind of got rid of some of the mechanics like swimming and things like that in this game, is because of the camera needed to be like closer to Kratos. So I guess some of those other mechanics didn't work as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I like the camera angle and like the...
Yeah, it seems whenever they move the camera back behind the protagonist, like they end up making a game. So like they did it with RE4 and like a bunch of other games.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising, like, oh, hey, this, it turns out, is a lot better.
Yeah, I like it. You get a lot more control over where you can look, which you really need in this game because you need to, like, look everywhere the time.
Well, part of that, too, is, like, consoles are a lot more powerful nowadays, too, and can render more environments. So as opposed to in the old days, you could only render, like, fixed locations where, mm-hmm. yeah, now you can, like...
Yeah, you can do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And they actually... You know, this did come out for PlayStation 4 specifically, but it was really, like, recommended that you had the PlayStation 4 Pro, I guess, to run this game, like, chef's kiss. So they, like, they made it good enough to just be, like, you need that next console up, I guess. But I guess that really works well on the PlayStation 5, which is what we played it on, because I'm sure the PlayStation 5 is, like, way more powerful than the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah, I was admiring how good the graphics look.
Like, oh, yeah, it's so gorgeous. So Corey, speaking of Corey Barlog, I read an interview where someone was interviewing him and Shannon Studstill, who is the head of Santa Monica Studio, which is awesome that she's a woman. Kudos to them. But she said that Corey actually had to convince Sony Interactive Entertainment to even make another God of War game because a lot of the people at Sony, they weren't so sure about the series. They were kind of ready to let it sleep and rest because of the lackluster performance of Ascension,
yeah,
which was the God of War game right before.
I don't even remember Ascension.
Me either. I don't even know if I played it.
I remember God of War 3 being pretty good. And yeah, I don't remember Ascension at all. maybe I just missed it, or maybe they didn't market it very well, or maybe it just wasn't that great.
Yeah, so that one was on PlayStation 3. Did we even have a PlayStation 3?
No.
Yeah, so that's probably why we missed it.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so they were a little hesitant to make another God of War game, but I guess, you know, obviously Corey was able to talk them into it, which I'm very glad that he did. Explaining the transition from Greek mythology to Norse mythology, Barlog said it's kind of this BC AD changeover kind of thing. We're moving and starting from zero and moving forward with that.
So when they do the prequel, that will be the Egyptian one.
Maybe. That'd be pretty sweet. Oh, God. I can think of so many cool enemies, you know. But anyway, so the reason that Kratos has an axe in this game is because the development team wanted to create a more grounded, in quotations, type of gameplay, according to the lead gameplay designer, Jason McDonald.
Yeah.
So do you think it's very grounded, Eric?
It's very. Axes are just so much more grounded than, like, chain blades.
Yeah, totally. And they came up with this idea to have the axe where he can call it back. And that was kind of inspired by Thor's hammer a bit.
Yeah, I get that.
Oh, yeah. Finally, the game was released April 20th, 420, 2018. And finally, this year was released for PC.
Yeah, I saw
the
that.
The same year that the new game's going to come out.
That's nuts. Yeah, it's so random. Sometimes PC games get kind of released at random dates.
I know. So does that mean PC, like hardcore PC gamers were like holding out for 4 years?
I doubt it. I think it was more just like a, well, I never bought a console, so let me play this game that I never got a chance to play.
That I heard was really good.
Yeah. Or maybe you're a hardcore fan and you wanted to see it run, like if you have like a brand new like state-of-the-art PC or something.
Yeah.
You might be able to like jump up all the graphic settings even more so like than the PS5.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have mods or something.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, Eric, to answer your question from earlier, the reason it's just called God of War and no, you know, anything after it
yes,
is because
I hate that.
They're starting over from fresh.
I
even
hate
though
that.
It is a continuation of the story.
They are continuing the story.
It's like they're starting over fresh. It's like they got baptized.
I hate it so much.
They're starting a new life.
Why couldn't they just have called it like God of War Midgar or something?
I don't know. Like, it's fine.
Or God of War.
It's fine. Movies
in parentheses, we're starting over afresh.
It's fine. Movies do this sometimes. And then it's totally fine.
I hate it because then you have to refer to the movie not as that name, but as that name and then the year. So we can't just call it God of War. We have to call it God of War 2018 because now God of War is ambiguous.
Yeah, but that's not that hard to do.
Yeah, it's just a pet peeve.
Yeah. So overall, this is the 8th installment.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah. So well, do you want me to go over all the different games?
Yeah, because there's only like 3 chronological ones. Like there's God of War, God of War 2, God of War 3. And mm-hmm. that's where I kind of fall off.
Yeah. So we have God of War 2005 and then God of War 2 in 2007.
They were doing so good at that point. They had first one, they had the second one.
Yeah. And then God of War Betrayal.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was a phone game.
Oh,
like
okay.
For Java, supporting Java ME.
Yeah, that doesn't really count.
Yeah. And then you have God of War Chains of Olympus, which came out in 2008 for PlayStation Portable. And then, what, PlayStation Portable, though, that is that the PSP?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then you got God of War 3, that came out for PlayStation 3 in 2010. And then you had God of War Ghost of Sparta, which came out in 2010 for PSP.
Okay.
So they had 2 games for PSP. And then God of War Ascension came out in 2013 for PlayStation 3. And it's actually the only one in the series to have multiplayer.
Multiplayer?
It did.
Wow. I kind of want to play it just to see what that multiplayer was like.
I kind of do too. We should get in and see if it like really sucked or not.
Well,
maybe it was just like underrated because like I don't know. Maybe a lot. Did a lot of people not have PlayStation 3?
No, a lot of people had PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the thing about multiplayer games is they may or may not still work. You don't know if those servers are maintained or not.
Yeah, good point. I'm going to guess not if it's from like 2013.
Yeah.
and didn't do very well, apparently. So
That's the thing that sucks about multiplayer games.
So, Eric, you know what's coming.
Fun facts.
Yeah. So, fun fact number one. In a video once uploaded onto Twitter, which is now sadly deleted, Corey Barlog revealed that it took some time to come up with Atreus's name. As such, he was just referred to as boy. And that's why Kratos calls him boy so much in the game.
That's pretty much what I call him too. So it rubs off on you.
Yeah, it also kind of works out because you see their relationship grow throughout the game. And so at first Kratos refers to him a lot more as boy. But then later on, as the game goes, he calls him Atreus more.
Yeah, that's true. So, I never really noticed that, but yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that wasn't the intention, but it did just sort of work out that way. I know you were kind of wondering why he called him boy so much, so I had to include that.
I wasn't. I just enjoyed it.
Fun fact number two. Kratos has appeared on other games such as Fortnite, Shovel Knight, Soul Calibur, Broken Destiny, and Mortal Kombat 9, which, I mean, Mortal Kombat 9, like, if anyone belongs in Mortal Kombat, it's Kratos, right?
Yeah, probably a good addition.
Yeah, I remember playing with him. I was like, freaking out. I was like, this is the coolest. Fun fact number three. At the very beginning of the game, if you look into each corner of Kratos' home, you'll see a rune etched into each of the four corners. String them all together and translate them into English, and they spell out
balls. 69 dick.
Spoiler again, Loki. They spell out Loki. So Atreus's real name was there from the very start.
Ooh.
If you were paying close enough attention and you were not lazy, so you like actually translated them.
I would have put like dick or balls or something if it were up to me.
This is why you're not on the game. Totally. It's not because you're a chemist or anything.
That's pretty much it.
All right. So that's all the fun facts I have.
Cool.
Sorry, I didn't warn you before I did number three. My bad.
Well, you kind of did. I think that was enough. Hopefully that was enough of a warning.
Yeah. But do you want to talk about the story a little bit before I go into the pros?
I do.
Just to give like an overview.
So yeah, in the story you play as Kratos, who has pretty much, killed all the Greek gods at this point. So now you're moving into Norse mythology to kill the Norse gods. The game features a more chill, relatively speaking, Kratos.
Yes, much more chill.
And his son Atreus, who have the simple task of spreading his deceased wife's ashes, who we never meet, on the highest peak, yeah. It just says
of a mountain, yeah.
Yeah, on the highest peak
of a mountain. So basically, they're on a father-son journey. You can tell that the son, up until this point, has spent more time with his mom than Kratos. And so they probably had a stronger bond.
Yeah.
But now that she's passed away, they're kind of starting their relationship for real.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good way to...
Because now Kratos is a single parent.
Single dad. So the main antagonist is Baldur, the son of Odin, who is trying to kill Kratos and his son because Odin thinks that Kratos is going to cause Ragnarok, which is a world-ending event. And I mean, given Kratos' track record, I feel like this isn't an unreasonable assumption.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, Baldur, right? Baldur?
Yeah.
Was it Baldur? He can't feel anything and he can re-heal himself very fast, and he has super strength.
Well, he's you know, pretty much immortal.
Yeah, basically.
Until they find out his weakness or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, Kratos' wife didn't just want her ashes spread around the yard. Otherwise, it would have been a very short game.
Yeah.
And
very boring game.
Yeah, there's lots of tasks here for Kratos, none of which he seems personally thrilled about. And they all involve killing a bunch of stuff, which is fun for us.
It's super fun.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of the story is when Kratos has to kill the bridge keeper of hell so he can get his heart in order to cure his son's fever. Like, there's only one bridge keeper of hell. Like that's it. What happens if anyone else gets a fever? Like,
sorry.
Yeah. I mean, you already killed the one dude whose heart would have cured it. I'm sure
they'll just replace that keeper and there'll be another keeper there, right? I mean, I would
assume. But will his heart be able to cure fevers the same way as that guy's heart?
I'm going to say yes.
It's just like, how do you know that? How do you know that this dude's heart is the one cure to this disease?
Well, because, okay, they meet Freya, who's a witch, and she's freaking awesome. She probably killed someone for their heart before.
It's like, yeah, this one dude, gatekeeper of hell, like, he's got the heart.
Yeah, so, like, you've got father, son, making their way to the top of the mountain. Making their way to the top of the mountain. Okay, anyways. Yeah, they're on their journey. Once they get to the top of the mountain, they spread her ashes, and all is well, happily ever after, the end.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, end
no
of the story.
No twist whatsoever.
No twist, no prophecies, nothing like that.
No, nothing, no big secrets revealed. Yeah, so basically, you at the top of this mountain where she wants to be spread is, what is it, like a giant's
graveyard
think. / sanctuary, I guess, because
yeah,
they go inside a building and there's all these cool statues and stuff, and then they go to leave and Atreus touches the wall and all these murals pop up telling Atreus's story, basically revealing that it was all
prophesized. Yeah, so like all the events were prophesized,
and this is also when you learn Atreus is not only half god but half giant.
Yeah, so you also learn the real name that they were going to give Atreus, which was Loki. And you also see the last mural they have, which is
slightly covered up by a flowing piece of fabric, so Atreus didn't see this part, just Kratos.
Yeah, and he wasn't curious enough to like check it out, which seems completely unrealistic to me.
Oh yeah, considering how he's been the whole game. Yeah, so the fabric is blowing in the wind, so you get a few little glimpses of what might happen in the next game, possibly.
Yeah, Kratos is being killed by his son.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum.
So how they work that...
And then also Atreus learns that his mom wanted to name him Loki.
Yeah. So how they work that out in the next game is going to be on them. So good luck.
I'm like super excited about it. I know this game is not going to be Kratos' last game. He is going to be in the next game, but maybe the next game could be his last.
You don't think they'll kill Kratos off in this next game?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the next game would be the last.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's hinting at.
Just carry on with Loki / Atreus.
Well, then it wouldn't be God of War anymore. Then it would just be Loki.
Yeah. They also kind of do some hints as to what Atreus might be the god of, which might be language. He's really good at reading different languages and learning different languages pretty quickly. So,
but if he is Loki, then he's the trickster god.
Yeah, I don't know much about Loki, so we'll see. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So excited. All right. So, Eric, what are some things that you loved about this game?
I did have a lot of good things to say. I mean, this is probably my favorite game in the series. Granted, I've only played through like the very first game and some of God of War 3. I think some of God of War 2. I don't think I finished either of those games.
Wow, Eric.
Whatever.
Quitter.
Yeah, the other games in the series I feel are kind of like, you know, mash attack heavy or, you know, mash heavy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like
I can see that.
This one is more of a balance of attacking, countering, dodging, and using ranged attacks.
Yeah.
You kind of have to do all four of those almost pretty equally. Like,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I give it props for kind of reinventing the formula a little bit.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think I played the first one or second one. I played God of War 3, and that's where I got hooked on God of War.
Yeah, and that's a good game.
But talking about the heavy mashing, it was pretty heavy mashing. I actually played it with a friend, and we would just trade off every time we died. We would just trade off, and we beat the whole game that way in like a day, I think. Nice. Or maybe it was a couple of days. But yeah, it was so fun, and I was like, once I played that, I was like an instant fan. And I'm kind of surprised that I never heard about Ascension, because I definitely would have wanted to play that. I didn't even know about it, like, when we were picking this game. Like, I had never heard of that one.
Yeah.
So whoever the marketing people were for that one didn't do a good job.
Well, we also didn't have a PlayStation 3, so.
Yeah. But, like, I could have maybe had one before I started dating you.
Yeah.
Or my friend did. So, and that was before I started dating. So, anyways.
So, what did you like about it?
I like almost everything about this game. Spoiler alert. This is one of my favorite games. The story is just awesome, as usual. I love seeing the, you know, relationship between Kratos and Atreus grow stronger over the game. There's all these other side stories, and you get to learn a lot about mythology and stuff as you play along as well. So there's like some true stories, or not true stories, but, you know, like historical stories, I guess.
Yeah.
Tied in with the main story.
Yeah. I love the way they work in that mythology. I mean, it's not 100% accurate, but I like how they work it into the game, the story of the game. And they'll keep some things, but, you know, obviously they change quite a bit.
Yeah, so this is what I propose. The schools should let you play God of War in class so you can learn about mythology, you know?
It makes a lot of sense, Nikki. Yeah. You should be in charge of the school board.
Oh my God, thank you. But yeah, I love the story. It's just very intricate, very well thought out. I think they did a good job of like continuing but revamping the story.
Yeah, and I feel like Kratos' character is a little less psychotic in this version, or in this game.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean,
he's matured as a parent. I mean, he was a parent before, but
he's surprisingly a pretty decent dad, which I didn't see coming.
Dad of the year, Kratos.
Dad of the year. So one of the other things I liked is this game is, you know, also extremely well balanced between combat, exploration, puzzle solving, and the story.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff to do between story segments, exploring around and doing puzzles and stuff, fighting overly hard enemies, which you know you can come back to later, but you still try to fight because you want that loot.
Yeah. Hey, it can be helpful sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my next thing, too. Like, they do a good job of balancing, like, puzzles with, yeah, action and exploration, and they give you a ton of stuff to do.
Yeah,
other than just follow the main story, which I think the main story would be like 25-35 hours, but with all the side stuff, oh my God, if you want to get 100%,
yeah,
it's probably gonna be double that.
It's not as bad actually as I've seen in a lot of recent games, like I think of Skyrim, where it was just so many side quests and stuff. It was mm-hmm. like, yeah, you could get bogged down hundreds of hours, but I feel like this has a good amount of side stuff where it doesn't like overwhelm you too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like I was saying, this is one of the things I liked, was this is the type of game where it's fun to keep playing after you've beaten it.
Yeah.
I always appreciate when games give you post ending content for players who like really enjoyed the game and want like more challenges, stuff like that.
That's kind of where I'm at. I beat the game like a week ago, and I've just been trying to 100% like at least Midgar, but I think I'm at the point where I'm pretty much out of most things to do except the Valkyrie fights.
Yeah, Valkyrie
and,
fights are
oh my
hard.
God, those are really, really hard, even though like I'm like really strong, my armor is top notch, you know, all my stuff has been upgraded and leveled up pretty high, the Valkyries are still hard. It's like, yeah. Dang,
yeah, they're tough.
I like the axe. The axe is badass. It's super fun to play with. And, like, you eventually get the blades as well about halfway through the game. So it's fun that you can just switch back and forth between the two weapons. And then you can also attack with your shield as well. So, yeah. Like, you're not only for defense, but you can hit and stuff with your shield, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so you have all sorts of ways to approach combat.
Mm-hmm. I also like that you have your son is there to help you in combat. He's not just following you around being annoying. But in combat, he has a bow and arrow, so he you have a button just for him. So, like, in the middle of fighting, you're just, like, pressing his button, shooting, fighting. And you have to learn how to go back and forth between, like, basically fighting as two characters at one time.
And thankfully, he is unkillable, so you don't have to worry about him dying.
Yeah, pretty much. There's a couple of battles where he's gotten, like, grabbed, and you kind of have to run over there and, like, get him free.
It just takes him out of commission for a while.
But he can't die, so that's cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to super worry about him.
That makes the game so much better, because if he was killable, this game would have been a lot worse. Would have been one long escort mission, and that would have been not as fun.
Yeah, true. So he's helpful and not a burden on you.
And one other thing I liked was the violence.
Yeah, totally.
It feels super satisfying when Kratos rips an enemy in half or cuts a troll's jaw off or something like that.
I think that's why he, like, fits into Mortal Kombat so well, because you know how you have your, like, fatality moves, and they do something super gory in slow motion, and it's all graphic?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what you can do in, you know, God of War when you're fighting with Kratos. Once you get certain enemies to a certain health level, you can just run and, like, do an epic attack, like, rip them in half, or, like, just tear their jaw off, or, like, I don't know, there's all kinds of different ones for, like, different enemies have different, I guess, fatality moves by Kratos.
Yeah, it's fun.
And yeah, it's super gory, super graphic, and you're just like, yes, I'm a god.
It's really satisfying though.
I like that this game has a lot of different difficulties to choose as. I think there was like four or five.
I know there was at least four.
Yeah, so it's like basically just story, a balance of story and action, and then a little more action, and then God mode.
Yep.
Yeah, what was your brother's advice? Start on God mode. No, do not do that.
It was do not start on God
mode. If you want
to,
just die a whole bunch of times, do that. But yeah. And then they also give you something called New Game Plus, where you can start a new game, but you get to keep all of your stuff that you've earned, basically.
Yeah, New Game Plus isn't a new concept or anything.
But, oh, okay. Well, my bad. Hey, I'm a noob.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, you can start over with the story. If you want to go into like a harder difficulty setting, you can keep all your gear and keep going into the harder difficulty setting. It makes it a little bit easier. So if you did want to take on God mode, that's probably how you'd want to do it, and not just starting on a brand new game like my brother. Which he did beat the game like that, so. And I think all the Valkyries.
I guess it worked.
So he's pretty good.
He beat all the Valkyries?
Yeah, I think
for
so.
For sure?
Yeah.
Whoa.
My final pro is this game's soundtrack is really good, and it really fits the mood and setting of the game.
Hey, I have that too.
I think it's inspired by that kind of that Norse culture.
Yeah. Oh, extra bonus fun fact.
Oh, nice.
I snuck it into my pros. Because I put, the music is fantastic as well, because I really like the music too. So it was actually composed by a man named Bear McQuarrie, who is best known for his work on television shows like Battlestar Galactica and The Walking Dead. Two shows that have really good music.
Nice.
My last pro, and I don't know if this is actually a pro or a con, it depends on how bad it is. But this game is addictive. Once you start, it is hard to put it down. It's like reading a good book. Like, you do not want to stop. And, like, there's no real good stopping points in this game.
Yeah, you
like,
always...
You know, like, with The Evil Within, you had chapters. So it was like, okay, I'm just going to do one more chapter, and then I'll stop for the night. There's no chapters. There's no levels. There's none of that. So it's like... You want to stop, theoretically, but then it's like, where's a good... You're just waiting for the next good spot. But then the next good spot never turns. You just have to eventually be like, okay, I beat an enemy. Let's pause and go to bed. But, like, yeah, this game's addictive.
I had 100% that problem.
Me too.
Very hard to figure out where you want to stop. You kind of want to do the next, I'll just do a few more battles or another battle.
Yeah,
just
do the next boss. Just one more boss.
Yeah, I just want to see where
And then you're twitching and you got a neck twitch and an eye twitch. You're just one more boss.
I just want to see over this hill. Oh, hey, enemies.
Or like if you're in a fight where you keep dying, you're like, just one more try.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't end where I'm just have died. I'd have to start all the way over and have to relearn how to do all the mechanics.
Ugh.
And who wants that?
No one. So, Eric, do you have any cons for this game?
I did, but, they're just kind of nitpicky.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Yeah, zero cons?
Yeah, zero cons. This is pretty perfect game for me. Yeah. It's definitely, I would say, my favorite genre of games.
Yeah, you kind of like...
Because I like to have a mixture of things.
Yeah, and you kind of like the adventure game genre. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I like them, because they have puzzles and action and shooting and, all this stuff. So, whereas some other games, could just be like just puzzles, you get more of a variety, I think, with the action adventure games.
Okay, so con number one, no stylus controls.
Oh my God. It's not on a DS or 3DS.
I'm just kidding with that.
stylus.
Yeah, so this game has a fast travel system, which is great, but in order to use it, you have to go into this extra area where it seems like you have to run down a path, but I guess you don't. You can just stand there.
Yeah, it seems like you need to run down a path until you get to this door that appears.
And
so
it
you
takes
can
a,
go through the to the other location.
It takes a weirdly long time if you choose to run rather than just stay there.
Yes. So after beating the game and playing extra stuff, I was using the fast travel a lot more when I was just trying to go through and find all the extra stuff that I didn't complete yet. And one time I was just standing there and I checked my phone for something, and I realized if you just go through the portal and stand there, the door will just appear right in front of you and you don't have to run for 30 seconds.
Yeah, that seems really dumb. And then I don't understand what the point... I know it works into the story where you have to go into this kind of in-between space.
Yeah, the dwarf kind of explains it.
But they could just let you skip that and just let you just show up where you want to fast travel.
Yeah. I guess if I was going to complain about anything, it would be there are certain parts that take longer than they should. But that is being very nitpicky.
Yeah, like I said.
I also think of being on some of the lifts... Some of the elevator/lift situations.
Especially
and they're
going,
just really slow.
Especially going down to the Valkyrie.
Yeah.
Man, it just takes so long. You're sitting there okay, yeah. And then what sucks is if you can't beat the Valkyrie, then you have to do that walk of shame where you have to go back out. Mm-hmm. And you have to, I'm going to have to take the elevator back up.
I get that it's supposed to be an ancient lift or whatever, but maybe you could just make it go a little bit faster.
I think it's supposed to build anticipation because it's going to be a really hard battle, but
yeah,
could have been a little faster in my
there's
opinion.
There's just some stuff there is kind of slow, but
yeah,
I don't know. That's not really anything that bad.
Yeah, slow lifts. And this happens very rarely, but sometimes in combat, the game will lock your camera towards a specific enemy who might be doing something the game wants you to notice. Unfortunately, when the game locks the camera, it also means your character can't turn. So if a bunch of other enemies are around and attacking you, you're kind of defenseless because you can't turn to face them to block or anything. That can be very frustrating, but it does, like I said, it doesn't happen very often at all. In fact, it's only happened one or two times.
It's only happened a few times for me as well. It's kind of random. Yeah. I don't know exactly what.
Yeah, I was confused about what actually was causing it. I think it was new enemies coming out of something.
Yeah. There's also a special move that you get. It's, I think it's...
Does it allow you to not have the camera lock up?
I think it's L1 and circle, but it allows you to be in slow motion for a minute so that you can attack faster.
Mm-hmm.
And it slows your enemy and time down around you. And I'm thinking maybe it was maybe you accidentally pressed that when you're fighting. And maybe that's kind of why it locked up.
No, this wasn't related to the slow motion.
Okay. Well, that was my theory. All right. So, I actually have strategy for this game.
What?
Shocking. I know. It's like basic stuff. But to me, like, the basic stuff isn't always that obvious because I'm like dumb sometimes. So, I'm going to say the obvious stuff. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, go for it.
So, like, the first thing is be observant. Some of your enemies will blend into the environment. There's always things like hanging from the ceiling that you need to get.
Yeah. For some reason, everyone in this universe decides to hide all their valuables in buckets hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah. There's just loot stored all over the place. There's like extra passageways, extra trails that you need to check out. So you just need to kind of look around everywhere you go and make sure you don't miss anything.
Yeah. It's very easy to miss stuff.
Oh yeah.
Stuff is hidden in the background where you can't get mm-hmm. to them. You just got to throw your axe.
Especially those little ravens. There's like these little green ravens that you're supposed to hit with your axe, you know, throughout the whole game. It's easy to miss those. Like, they're kind of hidden.
Yeah. It's one
and
of
there's so many of them.
You just kind of have to keep looking up all the time, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, look up all the time.
I like how the game gives you access to really difficult battles pretty early in the game, but you can get bogged down in some of these if you try them too early.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're getting one-shotted from, like, any of, like, a bunch of enemies, it's probably a better idea just to come back and try that fight later.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's one of those risk-reward things where you can get, like, a pretty good reward usually if you manage to do it, but don't...
It just can be really hard.
Yeah, don't get it so you're, like, just so frustrated doing one... and bogged down in one battle and sinking a lot of hours into it. Because I feel like nothing, no item or treasure is really worth it that much.
Yeah, not if you're spending more than like an hour on a fight.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Go level up, come back. Yeah, which actually brings me to my next strategy. Upgrade your skills, upgrade your weapons and your armor frequently. Just always check and see if there's upgrades available that you can do. And try out different combos of upgrades and, like, armor for different battles. Because, like, different enemies have different moves and different, like...
Different types of attacks.
Yeah, different kinds of attacks is what I'm trying to say. And so, like, for some enemies, you might need more frost power. For some, you might need more fire. For some, you might need more defense versus strength. Or just a bunch of different combinations of your stats.
Yeah, and you really
can be
get,
good for different enemies.
You really get a lot of items that make it where you can adjust your stats quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can definitely experiment with different types of builds.
Yeah, so if you're having a hard time with an enemy, you might want to go into your settings and, like, try some different combos of armor and different, like, specialty things for your weapons. Because there's a whole bunch of options.
So, personally, I found the beginning of the game much more difficult than the middle or ends. Maybe it's the mode I started on. I started on, like, the challenging difficulty. But I think part of it was just because I was still trying to learn the mechanics. The mechanics take a little bit of time to figure out, especially if you start at a harder difficulty.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah. So I feel like once I kind of got the hang of the mechanics, the game got a lot easier. And also, once I started to get upgrades, I saw a pretty big difference. Like, once I got my health bar, like, and I could survive more than one or two hits, I'm like, oh, this is much easier.
Oh, yeah. And there's, like, all these different, like, combos that you need to learn. Like, you know, L1 and R2 do this. And, like, L1 and circle do this. And, like, R1 and L1 do this. You know, and it's, like, if you have your shield out and you press this thing, it does another move. And it's, like, there's all these moves you have to kind of, like, learn how to do if you want to purposefully do any, like... strategic fighting.
Yeah.
And not just be a button masher.
I neglected learning a lot of those, but definitely the shield and then R1 moves are super important.
Oh, yeah.
They're like some of your most powerful moves.
Oh, yeah. And then also knowing and building up your Sparta mode. Is that what it's
Rage
called?
Mode.
Rage mode. And using that when you need to, that can be really helpful if you're fighting a hard enemy.
Yeah, and you can give, like, items that will give you health when you're using it too, so.
Mm-hmm. My next strategy was when you're using the mystical gateway, don't run. Just stand there and the door will appear in front of you.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, if you don't accidentally do it like I did, I feel like you would never learn that, because it does make it seem like you have to run through this path.
It does. And then it just,
but you don't,
randomly appears. Like, it doesn't really make any sense for when it appears and when it doesn't.
Yeah.
And then I think I realized that it's just a loading screen, or just a loading zone. So you're waiting for the area to load. But
that makes, that would make kind of sense.
So when you're actually running, you're making the game take longer because it's having to render this other stuff as you run.
True.
So standing there is probably actually going to make it load faster.
Another thing is, get used to dodging. You're going to do it all the time.
Yeah, especially in the Valkyrie
all
fights.
All the time. It's just good. It's good defense to dodge, because a lot of the enemies have, they have moves that you can block with your shield.
Yeah.
But then they have certain moves that you cannot block with your shield. So if you don't dodge, you're going to take a hit that's probably going to cost you a lot of your health.
And then they have some moves you can block, but it will, like, knock you off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you do a specific time block, which will parry their attack.
Yeah, that's true.
Which parrying attacks is really helpful and useful, too.
But yeah, you learn pretty early on to, like, dodge. And there's specific buttons for that. It's like double X.
Yeah, like 1X is just like kind of a duck out of the way a little bit. And then double hitting it twice is like a roll.
A roll, yeah. You got any, some more strategy?
No, that's it.
Okay, I have one more thing, which I kind of already talked about before a little bit, but is to use your shield. Like, honestly, just always have your shield out, because you can block quite a bit of damage with your shield. It doesn't block everything, but if you just always have it out, then at least it's there to try, you know?
Yeah.
And I would say just use everything the game gives you. Like, they give you everything for a reason, so use it. You, like, use all the moves, use all the weapons, use your shield, use your different armors, like, just use everything.
It's good to experiment with different approaches too, because different enemies you kind of have to approach differently.
Yeah. Also, I forgot this one. Use Atreus. Like, use him all the time.
Yeah.
Just, like, press his, so square is his arrow to shoot, and he has two different kinds of arrows. One's that shock, and one, what do the blue ones do?
The light arrows.
The light arrows. But they can, you know, they damage enemies too. But his button is square. So while you're doing all these other combos and stuff, you just have to remember to hit square constantly.
Yeah, constantly pumping through full of arrows.
Yeah, he can help a lot though. So if you don't use him, you're not taking advantage of the really cool part of the game.
Yeah.
So, Eric, did you find anything about the future? I mean, I think if you're listening to this, you probably already know one thing we're going to be talking about.
Super obvious thing, which is God of War Ragnarok. Hey, they used a colon name. And they didn't just call it God of War again.
At least they didn't call it God of War 2. God of War 2, 2022. Oh, God, that'd be a tongue twister.
So, yeah, it's scheduled to be released November 9th later this year. And are you excited about
I'm
the
so
game?
I'm so excited. So that's about 4 months away. And I think if we can pre-order it, we should just go ahead and pre-order it.
Because
I'm going to buy it the day it comes out regardless. So if it can already just be downloaded onto the PS, that'd be great.
Yeah, we can get it. Anything else?
I saw one more piece of news that I just thought was kind of fun. It doesn't really have to do with God of War that much. Not the game, really, but...
Okay.
So, the new game that just came out, like, a week ago, called Stray, where you play as a cat, it surpassed God of War and became Steam's top-rated game of 2022.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Okay, so on PC, it kind of overtook God of War?
Yep.
That's fine.
And that's based off of, like, reviews and ratings and, like, downloads and all that stuff, so...
That's fun.
I just thought that was kind of... I don't know. I'm playing Stray, so I thought it was kind of funny that, like, the game I'm playing now overtook the game I just played.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
Do you have anything else for the future?
And perfect timing. Nah, I mean, it's kind of hard to find stuff other than the, you know, giant obvious thing lurking.
Just no God of War movie coming out.
A few months down the road.
God of War Netflix series.
They could do one. I mean, that would be... That'd probably do pretty well.
It would always, in theory, it's always sounds like it'd be cool. But the thing is, they don't do it correctly. Hardly ever. So
it would just be so different. I don't know. It'd be as a TV series or movie. It would just, I can't see it.
It'd probably go into like Game of Thrones territory or something, you know?
That's what I'd be afraid of.
So, Eric, did you beat the game and free all the dragons?
I did, yes.
Wow.
And it was pretty fun, yeah. I really enjoyed the game. I enjoyed the dragon battles. They were tough, but not nearly as hard as the Valkyries. The Valkyries are like a whole different animal.
I've only beat two of them so far, and I've tried to beat like five of them, and I just gave up. I was like, nope, I need to be stronger. Was it hard to free all the dragons?
It was, like I said, it wasn't too bad. I feel like it was easier than the Valkyrie battles, but still pretty tough.
I feel like if you wait towards the end to free the dragons, it's going to be a lot easier. Like, I freed one of them pretty early on. And you had to, that was like the first encounter with a traveler, which is like this super armored up knight, like giant knight guy.
Yeah, they're pretty tough.
And I had to like come back to that one.
Yeah.
Because he was just killing me with one hit. Uh-oh. Like, there's no way. I'm not strong enough.
Yeah,
those he was like a level 5 or 6 enemy, and I was like still beginning. So
yeah, those are tough battles.
Oh my gosh, Eric, guess what?
What?
We forgot to mention that we're going to have a guest the next episode.
I think we did, didn't we?
We did forget.
Yeah, dang.
So next episode, we're going to have a guest. I'm super excited. You might remember our missed episode with Eric Stetson.
A very good episode, in case you missed it.
Well, his wife, Kate, is going to be joining us the next episode.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that.
I'm super excited. So are you ready to hear what game she picked and what our challenge is going to be?
I am all ears.
All right. Here's the email. Hey, y'all. I just finished playing all the way through Frogger Adventures Temple of the Frog. So that's our game. And decided the challenge would be to save the Firefly Swamp. I have no idea what this means. She says, in parentheses, it's just a cuter way of saying to try and defeat the game.
Okay.
Also, you could pick out your favorite Frogger friend along the way if you wanted.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Cool, cool, cool. And then that's it. Pretty sweet and simple. See you in a couple weeks. So the game is Frogger Adventures Temple of the Frog, which is actually an adventure, like an action-adventure Frogger game? Or what would you call it?
I would call it, I think it's like more of a puzzle platformer.
Puzzle platformer. So it's not like your typical arcade version of Frogger that we all know and love. This is like a different version of Frogger.
It is and it isn't. It is that top-down. You do, the controls are very similar to Frogger.
Yeah. But it's different. It's more advanced than the arcade game, right?
Yeah, it's actually on Game Boy Advance.
Cool. So, save Firefly Swamp.
Yep.
Save the Firefly Swamp. Okay. I'll try my best, Kate. I'm going to try not to let you down. We'll see. All right. Until next time.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good one.
Bye. Bye. As always, if you like our podcasts, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. And as always, we would love to hear your thoughts on God of War on Instagram. Let us know what you thought about the game. And are you excited about the new game that's going to come out in November? Let us know. Bye!